Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
It's John Hansen in for Bob Surratt. Happy Hot Monday, everybody. Dr. Jeffrey Bomer joining us now, emergency medicine physician for Northwestern Medicine's Central DuPage Hospital. And Dr. Bomer, good morning. How are you here today?
Good morning. Trying to stay cool here, but... Yeah, it's going to be another hot one, that's for sure, John.
Yeah, you know, in the winter, we remind people about frostbite and about shoveling the snow and the dangers that could pose to your health. And in the summer, we talk about heat stroke. And I feel like we almost become numb to these warnings. But when you are out there, you really do have to be careful, depending especially on if you're getting up there a little bit more in age. I mean, there's a lot of things that we say a lot over the radio and TV that maybe people kind of ignore. But boy, they can come in handy just to remember those things.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think obviously the more you can stay indoors in this kind of heat, the better. I mean, but that as we do get older, that so we always talk about, you know, the extremes of age, the very young and the very old, they're much more prone to it. We just don't have the ability to sort of regulate ourselves as well. And so, you know, staying indoors, staying out of the heat, staying out of the sun, and, you know, minimizing those exposures is key. And then hydration obviously is key as well, because we're just much more likely to get dehydrated with any kind of exposure in this kind of intense heat, especially.
Yeah, you're out at Central DuPage Hospital. Do you mind stopping by my parents' house in Downers Grove and telling them to stop doing yard work?
Yeah, sure thing. Just send me their address when we get off the air.
Yeah, I really appreciate it.
I'd be happy to do that.
Yeah, for sure. Some other stories I wanted to chat with you about. This keeps on popping up on my social media feeds. It's like a local news channel that has puts out these prescription risks every now and again. And I don't always like to read these stories, because I feel like with any prescription drug story, obviously there's side effects and potentially long-term risks. And sometimes it's causation and correlation debates. But the recent one I saw was potential things in our medicine cabinet that can cause increased odds for dementia. And some of them are pretty common drugs like Benadryl or some of the PPIs people use for acid reflux or GERD along those lines. Dr. Bomer, I don't know if you read the story I was reading, but do those stories bother you? Because, you know, sometimes it's causation, not correlation. Your thoughts on some of those worries about certain drugs that may cause or an increase in dementia risk?
Yeah, it's, you know, I think some of the ones that are mentioned in this article are, you know, make a lot of sense. It's intuitive that meds that sort of alter our cognitive abilities, like opioids that are used for, you know, patients that have chronic pain, benzodiazepines such as Xanax or alprazolam, Valium, lorazepam, those are used for anxiety. And patients that take those chronically, those are mind-altering medications. So I don't think it's hard to make that jump to understand why there may be a link to dementia with those kind of medications. But to your point, there are two other classifications of drugs that are also linked to dementia. So one of those you mentioned are the proton pump inhibitors, which are very, very commonly used for patients that have gastric reflux or GERD. What they're seeing in those patients is that it may be, you know, kind of causing this rise in levels of what are called beta amyloids in the brain. So, and those are seeing very, very tight correlation with those that have, or sort of the hallmark of Alzheimer's disease based on animal studies. So I don't know that link is as strong, but there is this concern that we're seeing, hey, these are patients that are getting these higher beta amyloid levels in their brain, and we know that that's a hallmark of Alzheimer's disease. So that's one concern. The other one that I think is even more concerning, and actually as a physician makes intuitive sense, are these anticholinergic drugs, like you mentioned, Benadryl. These are medications that we use commonly for our seasonal allergies. So this time of year, or in the spring, especially in the fall with ragweed, we see patients on these medications all the time. And some patients, you know, I have a son that actually takes this has been on these medications for years, and it's concerning. But, you know, these drugs are block the brain chemical called acetylcholine, which is vital for us to learn and create new memories. And so brain chemical acetylcholine is what we see issues with patients that develop Alzheimer's later in life. So it kind of makes intuitive sense that a medicine that blocks that specific brain chemical can have maybe seen some higher correlation with Alzheimer's down the road. So, you know, there's probably more. These are all sort of observation studies. These are not randomized blinded controlled studies, but there is certainly a correlation there. So I think it makes sense to, if you're on one of these medications, to have a discussion with your doctor to say, hey, do I really need to be on this long term? You know, is there an alternative for me to be on? So something for us to think about. But again, these are not randomized controlled studies. These are observations. But I think we need to think about it when you're on a drug for a long time, whether or not you really need to be on it for looking at your overall health.
Right. Yeah. Especially, you know, every now and then I'll take a PPI for 14 days or whatever. And you start thinking, well, maybe instead I should improve the lifestyle that causes that, not to minimize that. But I mean, really, it's about making some of those choices that potentially could help you out down the road. All right, Dr. Bone, we're going to put you on pause here for just a moment. We'll talk about sunscreen and some other things as well. And your questions, too, if you got one, 312-981-7200. John Hansen here in for Bob Surratt today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, continuing our conversation with our good friend, Dr. Bomer, Dr. Jeffrey Bomer, emergency medicine physician at Northwestern Medicine's Central DuPage Hospital. And Dr. Bomer had a text line question I was curious about, and the 847 heard us talking about drugs in our medicine cabinet that could potentially increase the risk of dementia. Further studies, of course, needed on this stuff. Someone wanted to know about the antihistamine nose spray. I don't know if you can comment on any direct link or thoughts of maybe increasing dementia, but what are your thoughts about those nose sprays in general, Dr. Bomer?
Yeah, I think overall, in terms of those being linked to dementia, I think a lot less likely. Those are not getting what we call systemically absorbed, so they're not getting into your bloodstream. And if they do, it's in very, very small amounts. So it's not enough to probably have a long term effect that way. I think any medication that you're on for long term, you probably a good idea to revisit that with your physician to say, hey, is there another alternative to this? I mean, we know that medications, some of them, you know, we tend to get sort of dose dependent, and then all of a sudden, you know, the doses that we've been on for a long time aren't as effective because we've become more tolerant, or they just aren't working very well for us. Our bodies change over time. And so I think it's always a good idea if you've been on something for more than a couple, 3 years, and if it's, particularly if it's one of these medications, or any medication for that matter, that may have long-term negative effects, that just revisit that with your physician, which is always a good idea on your annual visit, to go over your medication list and ask your physician if this is something that we really need to keep yourself on.
One thing I've been a lot better on from my 20s and 30s into late 30s, early 40s now is sunscreen. Boy, I was terrible about it. I think a lot of us were when our 20s, right? You don't think too much about it. And maybe you get burned a couple times and you're like, oh, no big deal. But we've done a much better job, I feel like, telling people the dangers, of course, of what can happen if you're not wearing it. I didn't realize that sunscreen in Europe was different than here in the United States. And that's due to a drug that is continually blocked by the FDA. What do you know about this?
Yeah, so this is an ingredient called bimetrazinol. So it's a much more what we call photostable ingredient. So it doesn't break down in sunlight like the other UVA filters that are used in the sunscreens here in the state. So the benefit for that is that you put it on and you know you don't have to reapply it nearly as often because it doesn't break down in the sunlight like the types of ingredients that are used in our sunscreens here. So I think I think the bottom line is, for John, is it's a red tape issue, right? I think it's just the FDA hasn't gotten around to you know, it's probably not a top priority. It just hasn't gotten around to approving it. I think it probably will. You'll see it approved next year or so. I think in the meantime, I think to your point, you just got to be vigilant about, you know, getting that sunscreen on, you know, keeping yourself, you know, try to minimize your sun exposure, wear a hat if you're out there, you know, cover your face and, you know, cover your, you know, it's harder to do in weather like this, but, you know, try to cover, you know, skin that's going to be exposed for a long period of time with clothing. But I think if you're going to have you're going to be out there and your skin's going to be exposed, just you got to reapply every couple of hours to make sure you're getting the adequate coverage you need.
So if this bimetrazinol, I probably didn't say that right, was in the sunscreen. Okay, all right, I'll take it. If it was in the sunscreen, maybe we wouldn't have to reapply as much. So this is a John Hansen conspiracy aside, but I can imagine maybe some companies want us reapplying more often than not, but I won't have you comment on that, Dr. Bomer, and maybe why that's not approved here in the United States. Haley brought up an interesting article to me from Axios, our producer here, about this, you know, we want vitamin D, but sunscreen really does reduce vitamin D absorption. Where do you stand on the spectrum of that? Still lean towards the over-apply, and you'll probably still get your vitamin D just by being outside in general?
I think so. I think the bottom line is we're not going to get every skin cell covered with all of our best efforts are probably not going to get us completely covered. You're going to have some exposure, and you really don't need it. It's really the UVB light that you need to get the vitamin D effects. And, you know, I think if you're going to be out for any period of time, even if you're completely covered feel like you covered yourself well, you're going to have some exposed parts of your skin that are going to still get some sunlight. So you don't need that much. But I think really, if you're an indoor person, you know, I think, and if you're a person that really doesn't go outside very much at all and really do cover yourself with clothing and hats and so forth, I mean, then you may want to think about taking a supplement. But I think for the vast majority of folks, even if you're intentional about going outside and putting sunscreen on, you know, you're going to be in the sun. You're going to get enough of that UVB to get the vitamin D effect that you need, I think. So I don't think you need to. No need to worry about it too much.
All right. Dr. Jeffrey Bomer, emerging medicine physician for Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Hang on the line. Haley and Joe will get you my parents' address. Please rip the mulch bag away from my dad. He has enough mulch. I think he's up to 130 bags this season. So,
oh, my goodness.
If you could do that after your shift today, that'd be great, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks, sir.